Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na kartritvam na karmani. Na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya sri jati prabhu. Lokasya sri jati prabhu. Na karma phala sangyogam. Na karma phala sangyogam. Swabhavastu pavartate. Swabhavastu pravartate. Na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya srijati prabhu. Na karma phala sangyogam. Swabhavastu pravartate. Na kritva na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya sri jati prabhu. Na karma phala sangyogam. Swabhavastu pravartate. Na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya srijati prabhu. Na karma phala sangyogam. Swabhavastu pravartate. Na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya krishati tadhu. Na, never. Kartritvam, proprietorship. Na, nor. Karmani, activities. Lokasya, of the people. Srijati, creates. Prabhu, the master of the city of the body. Na, nor. Karma phala, with the results of activities. Sangyogam, connections. Swabhavu, the modes of material nature. Tu, but. Pravartate, act. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The living entity, as will be explained in the seventh chapter, is one of the energies or natures of the Supreme Lord, but is distinct from matter, which is another nature called inferior of the Lord. Somehow, the superior nature, the living entity, has been in contact with material nature since time immemorial. The temporary body or material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of actions and their resultant reactions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers the results of the activities of the body by identifying himself in ignorance with the body. It is ignorance acquired from time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. As soon as a living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he's in the city of the body, he appears to be the master of it. But actually, he's neither its proprietor nor controller of its actions and reactions. He's simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves of the ocean are tossing him, and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness. That alone will save him from all turmoil. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Mukam Karoti Vacha Lam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So in this verse, Krishna is describing the situation of the living entity, the spirit soul. The spirit soul, the living entity, is different from the body. He's situated in the body. He's covered by the body, but he's separate from the body. He's different. Just like a person riding in the car, right? The car is one thing and he is another. The driver of the car does not become the car. In the same way, the living entity in the material body, he's covered by the material body. And he's residing there. Now this material body is made up of the apara prakriti, the inferior energy of the Lord. The Lord and the living entity, they are equal in terms of quality. The Lord is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the living entity is similarly full of knowledge, he's eternal, and in his natural state, he's blissful. But somehow or another, the living entity has now come in contact in the conditioned state with the material body, the material energy. And due to contact with the material energy, he has, according to the arrangement of nature, a particular type of body. And as a result of that body, various actions and reactions take place. It goes along with the body, right? Let's say you take a body in a very rich family, right? So then the struggle for existence will be less. The living entity takes a body in a very poor family, the struggle for existence will be more, right? So this is the, give us an understanding. Although it's very, very complicated, so many different conditionings that dictate how we act and what will be the result from our actions are there as soon as we get a particular body, right? So the living entity suffers in various ways because no matter whether you're in a rich family, whether you're in a poor family, it doesn't matter. Suffering will be there. Just like we all grow old. Nobody wants to grow old, but we're forced to grow old by the material nature. When you're young, all of the senses are working very nicely. But in time, the senses dwindle more and more. It's described that the body is a bag full of bones, and the bones all have joints, right? Just think how many joints. Here's a joint, here's a joint, here's a joint. Where one bone meets another bone, right? So it's a bag full of bones that have so many thousand joints. I don't know, you can count analytically analyze the bodily structure, exactly how many joints, but there are many. And in old age, they all become painful. All the joints become painful. So whether young man, whether a rich man or a poor man, the fate is the same. Old age, and so many diseases will come. So many diseases will come. Just like now there's the COVID disease, and everyone is, so many people died all over the world. These are the reactions for having a material body. It's the same for everyone. And then ultimately, one dies. No one wants to die, but everyone is forced to die. All because we identify with this material body. So what is the solution? The solution is not to identify with the material body, to understand our real identity as the eternal spirit soul. But how can you do that? What's the process? So the process is to engage the body in the service of the Supreme. To change the what happens to us, what actions are upon us, what reactions come upon us by changing our activities. The purpose for which we perform activities, that simply has to change. In the material conditional life, the living entity is performing activities to obtain sense pleasure, sense gratification. What he can taste, what he can smell, right? And to eat and sleep and engage in sex life. This is the goal of the effort of the conditional soul. Actually, none of these things need to be endeavored far, because according to one's actions in the previous life, according to one's karma, so much happiness will come. So much distress will come. It's already fixed up. So Prahlad Maharaj says that instead of trying to work hard to minimize our distress and increase our happiness, which is already fixed, that's only a delusion that if I do this, my happiness will increase and my distress will diminish. It's not possible, because it's already fixed. So much happiness I'm supposed to get, no matter how much hard I work or what I do, it's already fixed. So rather, Prahlad Maharaj is suggesting that one use this life not to increase try to increase our happiness or diminish our distress. But one should use this valuable human form of life to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. If we can do that, if we can engage in our body in the service of the Lord, then we become free from the actions and free from the reactions of the material body. It's not that the devotee doesn't act. He acts, but he acts for the Supreme, and therefore becomes free from the reaction. Just like if a soldier goes out into the battlefield, he may kill so many persons in the battle, but that's not a criminal offense, right? Because he's acting on behalf of the country. Rather, if he kills many people, he'll get a decoration, right? Become a hero. But when the same soldier comes back home and he kills anyone in the country, then he becomes criminal and they'll hang him. Right? Same business, no? Killing. One is criminal and one is hero. So acting for the pleasure of the Lord is the authorized position of the living entity to try to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharmam prityacha mamekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha shishyami masutaha. Just work for me, Krishna says. Surrender unto me. This is the instruction that he gave Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna doesn't interfere with the independence of the living entity. After Krishna spoke to Arjuna, the whole Bhagavad Gita, then he said, now you decide what you want to do. Right? He told him, if you do as I am instructing, then you'll be successful. You'll be attain self-realization. But he's not forcing. The living entity has his own independence, right? Whether to surrender or not to surrender, that is up to the living entity's will. God doesn't force. If there's a woman on the street, the man cannot force himself on the lady. That is not proper. In the same way, the Lord doesn't force the living entity. Some people ask, well, why did God make this world like that? Well, the world is like this for us to try to imitate God. God is the supreme enjoyer, right? We cannot be the supreme enjoyer. But for those living entities that want to try to become the supreme enjoyer, the Lord makes this material world. It's only when the living entity realizes that I cannot be the enjoyer, but rather my position is to be, to work in cooperation with the supreme enjoyer, then the living entity becomes peaceful, free from the actions, free from the reactions. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suriram Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Richati. And Krishna is explaining that I am the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. People are performing sacrifices. Everybody performs sacrifice. Right? If you want to get a college degree, you have to sacrifice your time. You have to, it costs money also, right? They charge tuition, right? You got to buy books. You have to give. You have to apply your mind and try to understand the matter, is it not? Sacrifice. Everyone, the parents, they sacrifice their time and efforts to bring up the children, is it not? So sacrifice is there. But Krishna is saying that Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, that I am the, you know, the meant to be the enjoyer of all sacrifices, of all tapasyas. Right? But people are performing sacrifice, they're performing tapasya because they want to be the enjoyer. I'll work hard, I'll earn money, and I'll buy a Mercedes-Benz. And when I go down the street, everybody will look at me. Oh, Mercedes-Benz. Enjoyment. But this is temporary enjoyment, right? They buy the vehicle with a great hope that they will enjoy. But after a few weeks, they notice there's a noise in the front wheel. Tick, 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 tick. And enjoyment gone. Then anxiety. Are itna kachar ho gaya, lekin gaadi ka hawa jata hai. Enjoyment becomes distress. That's the nature of this material world. Everything. So how to overcome? And Krishna gives us here an example of how to overcome these modes of material nature. So powerful. Srila Prabhupada speaks in the purport about the ocean, that the living entity is hopelessly and helplessly in the ocean. The ocean is so vast, and there's so many strong waves. No matter how good a swimmer you are, when the wave comes, it will push you. In the same way, this material world has the three modes of material nature, and they're just like waves. The wave of passion, and the wave of ignorance, and the wave of goodness. The living entity has no power to resist. He's pushed. Even though the living entity is thinking, yes, by my intelligence, by my strength, by my knowledge, I could do this. But actually, nature is carrying it out. Sometimes people criticize the Lord. They say that he's partial. He's partial. He protects the demigods and he kills the demons. Why is he partial? God should be impartial. Why should he protect the demigods and actually kill all the demons? Right? There's a part of the Bhagavatam, the first part of the seventh canto, there's a chapter. Why the Lord is impartial. How he's impartial. But the fact is that the demigods are in the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, naturally, they will, their opulences will increase, their strength will increase, and the demons are operating in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And therefore, a different result comes to the demons. So, what is the fault of the Lord? It's not his fault. Therefore, everyone has opportunity, whether demon, whether demigod, to become free from this tossing of the waves of the ocean, right? By engaging in devotional service. And that devotional service begins by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare. This simple process is not very difficult. Anyone can chant the Lord's holy name and begin to come out of this ocean of ignorance. This very dangerous situation in the material world where we're tossed around by the three modes of material nature, this way and that way. Simply by chanting this holy name of the Lord. But people won't chant. Srila Prabhupada talks about the the wife is saying, chant, chant, chant. And the husband is saying, can't, can't, can't. But if one performs this yajna, the Sankirtan yajna, the chanting of the holy name, very quickly the living entity can understand that I'm not the doer. Whatever things are happening in this world, that's going on by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. It's his energy. Even this body is his energy. Everybody wants the body to be healthy. If there's some disease, they go to the hospital. So many medicines doctors give, best doctors, best medicines. Still sometimes he dies, right? So death, whether the medicine works, whether the medicine doesn't work, whose hands, right? Many times the doctors will say, I did the best I could, now it's in the hands of God, right? Not now, always it's in the hands of God. It's not our hands. Whether we live or die, it's in the hands of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, has spoken the Bhagavad Gita to give everyone the proper knowledge to get out of this material world. If you're drowning in the ocean, what needs to happen? You need to get out of that ocean. Get out of the water. All right? On your own, you can't. How long can you swim? Someone needs to come along and lift you out of the water. Then we'll be saved. Like that, this Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of this Bhagavad Gita, it's compared to a boat, right? That we can get out of this material ocean, understand our real identity as spirit soul, different from this inferior material energy, this body, and give up the futile attempt to try to become the enjoyer here. And in that way, we'll become happy. We'll become satisfied. Otherwise, happiness, no one will find happiness in the material world. Right? We look all over the city. There's so many places where they sell liquor, right? Bars and the wine shop, Videshi wine shop. Are they Deshi, Videshi? What is the difference? And so, why? Because people are frustrated. And due to that frustration, they try to take shelter of intoxication. Right? But the devotees of the Lord, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. They take shelter of His holy name. Everyone has to take shelter. We have a choice. You take shelter of the Supreme Lord by chanting His holy name, by performing activities for His pleasure, or you have to take shelter of something in this material world. But whatever we take shelter of in this material world, it won't last. It won't last, whatever it is. It's bound to deteriorate. If we try to take shelter of this body, it becomes old. If we try to take shelter of our mind, it becomes senile. We try to take shelter of a beautiful woman, right? After time, she'll become old. So whatever it is in this material world, it's not real shelter. It's durashraya. It's a false shelter, right? It's fake, like fake news. Right? There's fake shelters, not real shelters, not lasting shelters. The real shelter, the lasting shelter, is the lotus feet of the Lord. And we can come in contact with the lotus feet of the Lord simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. So that's the sum and substance of this verse. Are there any questions, comments, reflections? Have a question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
Yes.
Guruji, just like you said, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord is the solution. And we generally used to take shelter in this material world, which is temporary. So we take shelter when we need someone or something. And you are telling that to take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna. It seems very impersonal because we need some person practically present in front of us whom we can take shelter. So it seems very impersonal that take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. How we will understand or how we will tell everyone how to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is very practical.
So, first of all, the lotus feet of the Lord is not impersonal. It's personal. Impersonal doesn't have feet. You understand? The impersonal doesn't have feet. Personal has feet. Form. And along with the Lord's lotus feet, when we say the lotus feet of the Lord is never alone. It's understood that the Lord and His devotees, just like a king, when a king moves out from the palace, he doesn't go alone. So many ministers will go, and maybe the army will also go, isn't it? In the same way, the Lord means the Lord and His devotees. The Lord is surrounded by so many devotees. Like Lord Brahma says, so many thousands of Lakshmis. In the same way, when we think of the Lord and the Lord's lotus feet, automatically think of the devotees of the Lord. Ultimately, no one ever obtained the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet except by the mercy of His devotees. Devotees' association is required. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvada. You approach one who has seen, one who knows the truth, and you render service and you ask questions. Right? And then you can see the truth also. So when we say the lotus feet, taking shelter of the lotus feet, first of all, it's not impersonal, and it's understood that it's the Lord and His devotees. You know, Srila, sometimes the painters in the early days would paint a picture of Krishna alone. But Prabhupada told them, no, Krishna's never alone. He's with Radharani, or the cowherd boys, or Mother Yashoda. Or at least he should be with one cow. Because Krishna is never alone. He's always with His devotees. Okay?
Thank you, Guruji.
All right.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. Guruji, in the translation of this shloka, it is written that soul does not induce anyone to act.
Exactly. Yes.
So, does not induce people to act. But we say that it is because soul forgetfulness of Krishna is the, and wanting to enjoy the nature is the impetus for this body for action.
Yeah, as soon as he forgets Krishna, he's gonna feel that I'm part of this material nature. I'm the body. And the reaction from that is that he'll interact with other bodies, also misidentifying their identity also, all due to the fact that one is endeavoring to forget his relationship with the Lord, or has forgotten the relationship with the Lord. So immediately he'll think that whenever some action is performed, that I am the doer. The result happened because of me. But the self-realized soul realizes that what happens, the fruit, the action, it comes because of the Lord. Right? And I'm not this body. Actually, we can't even operate this body. It's going on by the arrangement of nature. The soul is not the controller. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate satarachanam. Krishna says, I'm the controlling the material nature. It's working under my direction. Right? But yet, because of that illusion, we become attached to the body, and we think that I'm operating this body. This body is me. When we engage our activities in the service of Krishna, offering the result to Krishna, then we can understand, I'm not this body. This body is not me. It's simply my covering. And the results that come from the action of this body, that's happening by the arrangement of nature. So many things happen in the body, you have no idea how it's happening. Like if you get a cut, it heals. 3, 4, 5 days, it's gone. What did you do for that? Huh? Did you do anything?
I desired to, like, so that it can get all right.
Yes, you desire. But that's the end of it. So many things happen. Red blood cells, white blood cells, fighting infection, building the skin tissue, knitting it back together. Did you do anything? So it's like that with everything. Even raising your hand, we didn't do it. It's going on by the nature. Simply I'm identifying with what's going on. If the sore never heals, you'll be unhappy, right? You'll think what's wrong. But what can you do? So all the actions, it's not happening from us. It's not our energy. It's His energy, the Supreme Lord's energy. As conditioned souls, we must get a realization from the Lord. On our own, you can, try and study and understand, but that realization comes from Krishna. He enlightens the living entity, helps the living entity to understand what is the reality and what is the illusion. Therefore, we're performing devotional service. We're chanting the holy name to try to attract the mercy of the Lord so that He will be pleased upon us and give us proper understanding, enlightenment. The conditioned soul thinks, what is the need for God? I have my intelligence, I have my strength, I can earn money, I can enjoy. Right? And then disease comes, he loses all his money, he loses all his strength, and oh God help me. Oh God. When everything's going great, are, who needs God? Are, yar. And when problem comes, hey Bhagawan. So devotional service means in happiness and in distress, the devotee meditates on the Lord. It's not whimsical. That means pure devotee. Any other questions? Any questions from the YouTubers? We want to let you know, all you people out there on YouTube that are watching, you can ask a question, we'll try and answer it.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, we heard that in the heavenly planets...
What's that?
In the heavenly planets, there are a lot of comfortable conditions and like people don't get old. They have very healthy bodies. So, does it mean that they don't suffer from old age and disease there in the heavenly planets?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, from the lower planets to the higher planets, all are places of birth and death. They do, but not in exactly in the same way that we do. They have different types of bodies in the different planets, and but it's not everlasting. And there comes a time when it does dwindle and it's over, but not exactly like in this Mrityulok and Swargalok, and in the hellish planets, always suffering. There, much more enjoyment, but whether it's there, it's there, it's not permanent. At some point, they have to change. They have to leave. Ah, Brahmanal Bhuvaloka, from top to the bottom, that they have birth and they have death. But yes, they have a long duration of life in the heavenly planets, and they have much higher sense gratification in the heavenly planets. That is there. So it becomes even more difficult to think of Krishna because they're enjoying, or they think they're enjoying so much. Right? So the devotees of the Lord, they're not interested to go to the heavenly planets. That would be a big mistake for a devotee. Because if you go to the heavenly planets, how long you have to live there? One day in the heavenly planets is equal to 6 months here. And they live for 100 years. So what is the duration of life? You can calculate, but it's about 150,000 years, right? And then after that, what happens? They come back here to the material world. Right now, Kali Yuga is about 5,000 years into its 400,000 years of Kali Yuga. 5,000. Things are already so bad. Can you imagine in 150,000 years what it'll be like? Kali Yuga? Huh? The golden age of Lord Chaitanya, 10,000 years, will be over. So you went to the heavenly planets, you enjoyed, you came back, and it's 150,000 years more into Kali Yuga. Is it a good deal? Not at all. So be careful. Don't go to the heavenly planets. In the Hari Nam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that by chanting the holy name, Namaparat, you can obtain the heavenly planets. But that's no benefit. It's a great detour It's a great loss of time. And coming back here into this material world with an advanced Kali Yuga, so much problem. So better to bring our chanting to the highest stage, pure chanting, because when you have pure chanting, then you can get back into the spiritual world. Pure chanting. So you can ask, well, how to become free from pure chanting? Pure chanting? Free from aparad, free from offenses? To always chant. That's one way. Always chant. Don't stop chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. And another way is to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda by chanting, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda. Because whether you're offensive or you're not offensive, when you chant the Panchatattva mantra, you make advancement. You get closer to Krishna. And then the third way, there's three ways. Always chant, take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva mantra. And the third way is to develop a proper service attitude. Have the proper attitude for doing devotional service. And that attitude is a pleasure of Krishna, which takes some expert guidance and association.
Hare Krishna. Praji, there are two questions online. Dinesh Asher is asking, explain karma, vikarma, akarma.
Karma is authorized activities according to the Vedic literatures, karma. Vikarma is unauthorized activities according to the Vedic literature, vikarma. And akarma are activities in relation to Krishna. Karma, vikarma, akarma. Authorized activities, unauthorized activities, and activities for Krishna, our devotional service.
Another question from Madhu Rohra. Why we have come to the material world when there is no contamination in spiritual world?
Because of our desire. Like I said in the lecture, we are not forced to love Krishna. We have our own free will and independence. So because we have decided that why Krishna will be the only enjoyer, I'll also enjoy, you're in the material world. And the moment you think that Krishna is the enjoyer, I want to cooperate with Krishna, you're no longer in the material world. Iha yasya hriya dasya kamana manasagira na kiva vyapivastastu jivan muktasa uchite. As soon as we engage our mind in our words, in our bodies, in the service of Krishna, such a person is no longer in the material world. So that we're trying to do by engaging in devotional service, following the instructions of the spiritual master in association with devotees, and aspiring for the mercy of Krishna. Okay. Thank you for your questions on YouTube. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much.